But I can remember Carl Ely, who was Chuck and Ivan Ely's father, having a nice truck and coming down the street every day, bringing the 25 or 50 pound cake of ice and put it in the ice box, because that's what we had back in those days. And my uncle had a dairy, Morris's Dairy, up on Lake and Center Street, you know, where David Jerome's the law office is now in that house. Okay, right, they lived there, and right behind that, my uncle had his dairy, Morris's Dairy. And he would go out, pick up the milk about 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning, come back in, pasteurize it, bottle it, put it on his truck, and then peddle it in the afternoon. And he owned a dairy there, Morris's Dairy. In fact, my cousin, Margaret Moore, she lives up on Carpenter Street. And she could tell you all about her father's dairy. And I can always remember trying to get home from school about 3 or 4 o'clock so I could catch my uncle and help him on his milk route, because he'd always give me a bottle of chocolate
milk.
Did
he pick up the milk at places like that drop-off point you're telling
me
about?
No, he would go out Center Street towards Nine Mile Road, and that was an old dirt road past Baseline Road, as you start up the hill, because there was no houses, there were just a few houses out there. And he'd go all the way out to Nine Mile, make a left, and go down to Nine Mile and Taft, and there was a farmer there called Christensen, and he would pick up their milk in the 5 gallon containers. Then he would come back down 9 Mile towards Novi Road, and he would go into Greer's and Oliver's and pick up their milk. And then where the White House restaurant is there, across from Guardians, they had a big farm there. And Mr. Rogers that built that house had something to do with the pasteurization of milk. Worked on the invention or something. I can't tell you about too much about that, but that's how he built that nice, big, beautiful home there in the early 30s. But then my uncle would come down Novi Road, and there was farms, as you know, across from the Bowling Alley there and across from Grimsey's. But that subdivision, there's still a couple of nice big farms back in there. Then he'd pick up milk there. Then he would come back down Baseline Road. He'd come down Novi Road to Bay Area to about Hutton or Lake Street, and then go down Lake Street right into his dairy, and then he'd pasteurize all that milk and bottle it. My aunt used to wash bottles out there in the back room. And then he had a pickup truck, and he would start his route, and he'd go up Center Street, up Walnut Street, back down Walnut, up Center Street, down Baseline Road, and then into Grace Street, and Carpenter Street, and Horton Street, and all of those, get all those houses. And every day, you had milk on your porch, because you didn't have any refrigerator.
He delivered in the afternoon.
He delivered in the afternoon.
That was Morris's Cream?
Morris's Dairy. And then the only competitor he had was Don Miller. And Don Miller had a place down on First Street, right behind Gaisney's house. In fact, have you been there? If you walk right through his backyard, you walk right into it. Don Miller had a big 4 or 5 car garage back there, and he did the same thing there, bottled milk. And it was Miller's Dairy. And they, in fact, I got one of their some quart bottles and things like that, because they used to bring them out in great big huge wooden crates, and when they so many of them got broke or lost or whatever, you'd order some more. But most of those bottles have disappeared now. I found out at an antique show, and I didn't care what the price was, I was going to buy. But Margaret has some. In fact, in the hole in the wall, I think they've got 2 or 3 bottles in there, because my uncle used to deliver milk in there. They had Bogart and E&B Food Market. Mm-hmm. And all the restaurants in Northville he had the bigger of the two dairies.
What restaurants were here? Probably not very many of them.
No, the only restaurant that I can remember is that down there was the Bean Pot. Called the Bean Pot. Next to the gift shop, right next to Lappin's. There's Lappin's, the gift shop, and then there was a little stools in there. We used to call that the Bean Pot. And then across the street, right where the Four Seasons flower shop is, there used to be a White Kitchen. They called it the White Kitchen. And that was also, that had about three or four tables. And a counter with maybe six stools in it. And it was kind of like a hamburger place, you know. They didn't cook big meals or anything like that, but there really wasn't any restaurants in North Valley I can remember, except that where right across the street from, right next to Mag's there, where they used to be the old bar in there, remember the bar? 111. It's 111 Main Street anyway.
You're talking about that where it's sort of a depot now, they're proposing to redevelop?
Yeah, right. Right, in there now. They used to have a bar on one side and a restaurant on the other. And John Polis ran that. And he lives up on a corner of the Orchard and Barrett Boulevard, right across from the Catholic Church. And John Polis ran that, and he had a Greek restaurant in there for many, many years. And those are basically the only two.
People didn't eat out.
No, they didn't eat out. No, women stayed home, and because there wasn't that much employment in those days. And I mean, they built everything from scratch. You know, they didn't go and buy cakes and pies and prepared meals and things like they do today. So there really wasn't that many restaurants around to eat enough. It would be a rare occasion if you went to the bakery and they bought it. Because most women just baked their pies and cakes and bread and everything right from scratch. You know, you bring home that 10 or 25 pound bag of flour and mother would start making her stuff. You know? And so there really wasn't too many restaurants, you know. There was only, we had a Donward Ballinger's car washes. There was a Packard Plymouth automobile agency back there. And you and I'd remember Packard, but most kids today would. Ask the man who owns one, is there someone? And if you had a Packard car, boy, you had it made. You were you were an RB. And right where Mag's is now, that used to be the Ford dealership in there. And then Tom Edmondson had it, and George Locke had it, and there was various other.
Was that after the library? And you said the library.
Yeah.
Was there?
Well, the library was around the corner. So they kind of, like the Ford garage would go this way, and then the library, they kind of butt up together. Because on the corner there was a couple of little houses, like right on the corner of the main Wing Street. And then right across the street from that, where the parking lot is now, next to where Phil's old gas station is, the Chevrolet dealer, Ken Rethman, had a Chevrolet dealership in there. And those might be a dealership. And then right to the south of that, the George Hill had a meat market in there, and then later on I went to a real estate office. That where Phil's gas station is now, that used to be a high-speed gas station. Not many people ever remember that brand of gas. But, it was just catty corner from the city hall. And that was the only... Well, George Miller later on had a Dodge dealership, but that come considerably later. He had a shop up on Randolph Street, bought the 600 block, And he repaired cars back there in a nice big garage he had, and then he kept working up, and moved downtown on Hutton Street and built his dealership there where that bank is now, Downriver Federal or whatever that bank is. But that's just about the size of Northville, except where Dell's Shoes is, Turnbull's. Now, Bruce Turnbull's guy, his father had an appliance shop there. Sold and repaired all kinds of appliances, refrigerators, stoves, small appliances.
Well, do you remember an appliance shop pretty much across from where Cloverdale is now? Mary Jones and her husband ran it?
No.
Was that before your time?
Must have been. No. Mary Jones and her husband had a greenhouse.
Yes, but they also hit this at the same time.
Oh, did they? I didn't know that.
That's what she told me. Yeah. I wondered if you remembered.
No, I didn't remember that, because I went to school with her daughter, Phyllis. And then she has an older daughter, Gwen. She's married to my wife, her mother. And they had, if you know where that house is on the corner of Dubar and Linden, Ussetti's or Genetti's house, do you know where they live there?
Not exactly, but I know that that's where their nursery was.
Right, that's where it was, and we used to go up there when we were kids, and like when we had a J-hop, which was our formal dance, and when we were juniors and our senior prom, and you'd go in there and you'd say to Mrs. Jones, I need a corsage for the dance. And, yeah, she'd say, well, how much you got to spend, George? And I said, well, maybe $2 or $3. Of course, this was, like I say, it was back 41, 42, you know, the war was on, you know, and there wasn't that much money on it. But you'd get a few. She said, well, I'll fix you up something. And it was always $2.50, right in between, you know. And Mrs. Jones was a lovely lady. She used to, every kid in that school always got their corsage.
Did you marry a woman from Northville?
No, my wife was from Saginaw. And she was working at St. Mary's when I met her in the old Harvey. She was also an RN. And her dad was ran the C&O. Well, it was Pier Marquette, or it was Pier Marquette, and then it was Chessy Railroad, and he was superintendent of the train yards up there. And he had a good job at the railroad. And they lived out on the north side of Saginaw, out on Warwick and Devonport. If you're familiar with Saginaw,
so. No, I'm not. I didn't want to stray away from Northville, but I was just curious if you married a classmate or something.
No. When all of us kids got out of, we graduated from 42 while World War II was on, and that class just scattered, you know, and at the time I was going with a girl in that class, and perhaps if World War II hadn't come along, we might have gotten mixed, you know what I mean? But you were gone for over 3 years, you know, things changed, and she married somebody else. I haven't seen her in years. I have no idea even where she lives. But good girl, nice girl. And they were all good kids. And I think there was probably only maybe four or five couples in that class that married out of that class and still lived here in Northville. In fact, they still live in Northville. All those kids that didn't marry, they didn't stray too far. But World War II just completely changed the lives of everybody in the community, really. You came back to, well, I left, I went to college for a year, and I left in 43, only to get a year in, and I came back in 46, 3 years later, and Northville was almost like a like a different town to me. In fact, it took me almost a year to really get my act together and get straightened away and, you know, become a productive. I drew unemployment for a year. We had the 52-20 club, they used to call it. You got $20 a week for 52 weeks. And it was one of the worst things that ever happened to me. And then I decided to go back to school. But Northcote changed a lot in those 3 or 4 years. And those kids were gone, and a lot of them I haven't even seen since 1942. 47 years. Pretty soon it'll be 50-year anniversary if we can ever get them all together. Yeah, we had a reunion in 1955 down the VFW hall where it is right now. And so that was 13 years after we had all graduated. And most of the kids came. I think there was only about four.
Out of that the only class. One you had?
That's
you
the
didn't
only?
Have your 25th?
No. It seemed like most of the kids in that class were not very aggressive as far as
doing
probably
going to be you,
the Udor. Well, I was the instigator of the 55, and then, of course, by the time we finished, there was about six of us working on it. Believe me, there's a lot of work goes in there. There's a lot of work, and I had a girl, in fact, Dee Carlson, who was on the city council, Mrs. Carlson, if you're familiar with that name. Her daughter and I went to school, Carol, and Carol came up from Florida a few years back and said, do you think in about 2 months' time we could get a class reunion together? Because I don't think I'm going to live very long. And I said, I don't think we can get one together in 2 or 3 months. There's just too much corresponding and everything. But, so she went back to Florida in about a year and a half, she passed away. So, I mean, she knew she wasn't well, and she wanted to see all those kids, but it just didn't work out. And every time I see some of my old classmates, which is rarely, you always say, gee, we should get together and have a reunion. Oh, that's a good idea. When you get it started, let me know. You know? And I always...
You need what you need, the committee group.
Yeah, right. But my sister just got together with her some 50 years. And she graduated in 1938, 4 years ahead of me. And it took them almost 2 years to get the whole thing organized. Mm-hmm. By the time they corresponded, and they went to maybe relatives and found out where so-and-so was living. And much to their surprise, most of the kids still live right here in Michigan. There was a few, and there was one in Oregon, I can remember that, two or three in California, and a couple in Arizona.
Did they come?
Yes. Everybody came except one fellow who lived in Arizona, and his name was Marv Schultz, and his dad had a garage down where Parmeter Cider Mill is on Base Landing. He had a garage down there, and his brother Harold went to school with me, and I think Harold someplace in Indiana, but I'm not sure. But there's another interesting place when we were kids, the old cider mill down there by the railroad tracks. We used to go down there and you used to have an old tin cup on a long chain. And you could dip down in there and drink all the cider you wanted, but everybody drank out of that same tin cup, you know. And you hung it back up when you got done. And Mr. Pymeter ran that for years and years and years. And his son ran it, and then Bob, who went to school with me, his grandson ran it for years, and then Bob sold it out, and now they've remodeled it and fixed it up.
But the old one burned.
Yeah. And I can't remember when I did that, but then also the lumber yard there, right next to East Meat Halls and Lumber Yard, and right across the tracks on the other side was Yerkes, had their lumber yard there too. That was a very prominent family in America. In fact, they have the cemetery out there where Meadowbrook Road comes dead in.
And And I'm told that they owned a farm, which is pretty much where Highland Lakes is now located.
Right.
And that's why that lake, Silver Springs Lake, is, was called Yorkie's Lake.
Right, and right across
the... they had a farm there.
Yeah, and right across
the... before the gravel pits, before they, yeah, they mined it for that.
That could be very much, because they were big landowners. And in fact, right across from Highland Lakes there, as you're coming in 8 Mile Road, before you make that curve, there's a big old house there, and it got all boarded up now.
Yeah.
Okay, that used to be a Yerkes house.
I know. Yeah.
Okay. And out where that cemetery is, my grandmother and grandfather are buried out there.
Are they?
Mm-hmm. That was their own private cemetery, Yerkes Cemetery. That was for their family only. But then, as time went on, other people in Northville did buy lots out there, and I think my grandfather paid something like, some ridiculous thing, like $12. And I have an uncle out there that's buried, and my grandmother and grandfather wife's buried. In fact, my brother, sister, and my cousin and I just put a headstone on my grandparents. All these years we never had a headstone.
Mm-hmm.
And we finally got together and said, this is utterly ridiculous. We've got to put a headstone on it. So we did, and when we were going through the archives, to, so to speak, like, we ran into the fact that there was 2 children that died of birth, at birth, that we didn't know about, to my grandparents. And they're also buried there.
Yeah.
And the records all revealed this to us, and of course we had their names put on the stone too. It's quite a large stone, so we had all 4 names put on it.
Mm-hmm.
But that's a very small cemetery there. Very small. Doesn't go back in there very far. But
now, how long have you lived out here? And tell me...
10 years.
10 years?
1970 I built out here.
You were telling me on the phone, let's repeat it for the tape. This is really a Northville mailing address, but it's in Washtenaw County, right?
Right. This is Salem Township, and it's in Washtenaw County, but I have a Northville mailing address and a Northville telephone. And
mm-hmm.
I have a 349 number. And I have a 48167 zip code. And of course, Wayne County, or Northville Township, comes right out to Napier. So it's just a mile down the road
mm-hmm.
to the township. In fact,
where do you vote? In Washington?
I vote right, yes, yes, in Salem Township. In fact, the Northville School District used to go out here 1 more mile. But then they shortened it up so that this was still in the Northville School District. And my kids would cut across lots here, my daughter, and catch the school bus, because the school bus would come down Chub Rock.
Mm-hmm.
And so she always went to, she had really the choice of going to South Lyons or Northville, but she always went to Northville. We lived there. Because I lived up at 985 North Center, and then I lived there on South Rogers. We moved around a little bit, but not too much. But I've always been a fixture in Northville, and I still consider myself a Northvilleite, even though for the last 10 years I've really lived just on the edge of it.
Now, are you still working?
Yes.
You're still working at the Fret?
Yes. I work 6 nights a week. I'll leave here tonight about 6:30, and I'll get home about midnight.
What do you do?
I'm one of the racing officials here. I've been a judge at the track for 40 years.
Is that right?
Yeah. It's like an umpire or a referee in a ball game. We call all the fouls. We put all the races together. We do all the fining, suspending. In other words, well, I'm the senior man. I've been there longer than anything else. And we put all the races together, handicap, classifying, put the whole race program on. There's a lot of paperwork there. There's a lot of people involved in this.
Yes.
And we distribute all the purse money. It's our decisions that determine what happens to $1 million a night. A lot of money, a lot of responsibility, a lot involved. And we do have objections, and if they feel that they've been unfairly penalized, they can appeal to the Racing Commission, and there's a hearing held before a panel of attorneys from the Attorney General's office, and they sit in on the hearing. We present our case. The offended person, or the fine person, presents their case, and then they decide on the merits. And of course, we have TV replay like we do on TV for football, baseball, instant replay. We can play it back, show them exactly where they made the mistake, where they created their foul, and what they did or didn't do out there. And so usually when we go in to a hearing, we've pretty well got them.
How many of you are there?
There's four of us.
Four?
There's three up on top of the grandstand and one out in the car, which follow the horses around. And I'm within about 20 feet of the horses at all times. We have a radio. We talk back and forth on the radio all during the race. And there's also a starter in the car. We have now a lady starter, the first lady starter in the history of harness racing. Started right here at Northville last January 1st. So they were the first one to break the feminine barrier, and get a lady starter. She's a very fine starter. Does a good job. And she's over to Hazel Park right now, so she works 9 months a year from the 1st of January till about the middle of October. And then, of course, the middle of October until December 31st, Jackson at Northfield races. But I'm also there, but they have a different starter.
I see.
And there are, here at Northfield, it always was exclusively about 97% of the people employed there was Northfield people. And we used to race in the summer. And it used to be quite a thing. We would race usually from about the 1st of May until the middle of August. And you see all these Northfield wives and their families in their cars, packed, ready to go on vacation, sitting out in the parking lot behind the grandstand. And as soon as their husbands got done with the last race Saturday night, they would go on their vacation for the last 3 weeks of August, or the last 2 weeks of August, the first week of September, and away they go. And a lot of those people have retired or passed on and so on and so forth. And at that time, it was usually a part-time job. Most of those fellows worked at Ford's or Burroughs or one of the local plants around here, and then they worked nights at the track to help augment their income. And a lot of them were school teachers. In fact, there's still a lot of school teachers. Dave Longridge, who's principal at Cook School, he works in admissions down there. And Horvath, he works down there. And there's still a lot of school teachers that work there in the summer. Very well in the winter now.
Mm-hmm.
So, plus, see, they get done, and then they can get the kind of job where they can take nights off whenever they want, so they're not really tied down like I am, six nights a week.
Now, you judge strictly the trotters, not
just the
not
trotters, the trotters, that's right. Mm-hmm. And that's made me a terribly good living for all these years. I brought up two good children, and they've always had a good life. And of course, that sounds a little like I'm bragging or self-centered or conceited, but they had everything, believe me. They had a good home, and they had a good life, and they turned out good too. I'm very proud of them, and very proud of the fact that they could live in Northville, simply because the environment alone was a great influence on them. And their mother was very active in the school, and we knew most of the teachers, Bill Kraft and all the different teachers around, Mrs. Addis and Bob Williams, who was a music teacher, and Ron Bell, and in fact, Jeff Light, Bigfoot. I don't know whether you know Jeff or not. He's my nephew. He's married to my niece. He teaches at Allen, third or fourth grade, I think. And most of those people we knew. So, I mean, you had kind of like a close family tie with everybody in school, right from kindergarten right on up to high school. So and my kids could walk to school. We only had a block and a half to go to Ammerman, and then they went over to Cook to junior high, and they only had about four blocks to go, and then they only had about three or four blocks to go to high school. So, and they were very active in school. They were active in music. My daughter was a state champion swimmer for years. She swam on a Livonia Bulldogs team for years until they finally had the swim club built up behind the high school. And I think that was built probably back in the 50s someplace. And we were one of the first charter members when it was $375 to join and $50 a year for the membership. And we weren't sure we were going to get enough membership in that swim club up there, if you know where it's at, right by the water tub. Whether we'd get enough to really make it self-supporting. And the first year, I think that we were in the red, and then it grew and grew, and Northville kept expanding, and we got more members. And then we were members up there for 20 years. So my kids could swim before I even went to school almost. So, I mean, that was a real asset, too, and that was one of the things. Of course, we were open from Memorial Day to Labor Day. And they have a nice facility up there. I haven't been up there in 10 years since I moved up here. But that was one of the nice things that we had for the children of this community. Of course, it was a private club, but still you could bring guests in. And I think they used to limit them to 12 a year, that you could bring in 12 people. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, to keep it down so it wasn't just completely crowded. But there was a lot of activities around town, and just a lot of things to do for kids. And you're close enough to the Detroit area and the Ann Arbor area, where you have many things. And we used to go to Meadowbrook. We used to have season tickets over there. 8 tickets a year in July and August on Sundays. Go over to the concerts, the Detroit Symphony Orchestra, Gilder, if you're ever going over there. We used to sit out on the hill with our blanket. And, Arthur Fiedler used to be there, and Dick Heyman. And,
the symphony still performs
there on Sunday. So there's lots of things to do in this area. Lots of lakes, lots of golf courses. And it's really a nice community with it.
Do you belong to the Chamber of Commerce?
No. probably should, but I know, you know, most of those people. But I just don't think you could bring your children up in a much better community than Northville. They got a good school system, they got good churches, they got good business area, they've got this beautiful park down here all the way to Plymouth. In fact, it goes way beyond that. Mm-hmm. And there's just so many things to do in that park, although there has been some rowdyism down there in the past few years, but that's somewhat squelched. And, but Northville's a wonderful place to live, and I'd recommend anybody bring their children up here.
And,
I don't know if there's something you'd like to ask me about Northville.
I want to thank you. No, I don't think so. We really don't operate with a prepared questionnaire, as I said. I have asked you what I thought were key things.
Yeah. But
sure,
if you ever want to call me, if something comes up and you think there's something I can help you, I'd be more than happy. I would like to have you talk to my cousin, whose father owned Morris's Dairy, and she could tell you. I can give you her address.
She may well be on the list. I don't know.
Margaret Moore. Her name is Moore.
What's her first name?
Margaret. more. I'll give you that telephone.
Okay, but let me finish this tape before we do. I want to, I want to thank you very, very much, Mr. White.
Well, you're welcome, and
It's been very interesting.
I'm glad I like could contribute a little something.
And as I said to you before, you will be receiving a copy of